If you have your Bible, turn over to Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 6. I was going to say Isaiah is one of my favorite books, but somebody pointed out that I say that almost every time that I'm reading something. It is a great book, though. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Father, we do thank you for your word. Just the reading of it this morning. We thank you, Father, for the power of it. You have energized it. You said that your will not return unto you void. It's always going to bring something back. We thank you for that. It's always going to touch our hearts. It's always going to bless us. So be with us this morning, Lord, as we endeavor to seek your face. Touch us, Lord, again today. Raise us up. Energize us for your work. Without your spirit, we cannot do it. But nothing is impossible for us through Christ Jesus, who is Lord. For it's in his beautiful and wonderful, marvelous name we pray. Amen. Years and years ago, I heard Madden. He was a football guy, you know, and he was describing a football game. And it was the Bengals. My son Matthew is a Bengal fan. He's kind of like a Cubs guy, you know. Doesn't make any difference how lousy they are. They just keep rooting. Anyway, the Bengals were playing the Niners. And the Niners, of course, were the odds-on favorites. So John Madden said at the beginning of the game, he was interviewed and stuff like that. And he said, you know, any given Sunday, any team in the NFL can beat any team. And I'm sure that the guy that was probably thought, yeah, but it ain't going to happen today. Well, listen, about three quarters through that game, the Bengals were stomping the Niners. And I thought it was so cool that Madden said, just in the middle of commentary, any given Sunday is today. And I thought, you know, we think about the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, Sunday, Resurrection Day. And we should know and understand that there is something that is powerful and it is clearly taught in the Scriptures. What's he say? Do not forsake yourselves, assembling yourselves together, even as the manner of some is, even so much the more as you see that day approaching. We're supposed to assemble. As iron sharpens iron, there's something that God wants to do on a day-to-day basis with us, and only the Holy Spirit of God can do those things. I'm not trying to minimize that whatsoever, but on Sunday, on any given Sunday, God sometimes invades his people and brings about great revival. First great awakening, the second great awakening. I was thinking about this. We talked about, I don't know if somebody was talking about something, singing or something like that. And I told my wife the other day, I looked at her and I said, you know, George Whitefield preached outside to tens of thousands of people. And he didn't have a microphone. And tens of thousands of people came and listened to him preach. And hundreds, if not thousands, received the Lord Jesus. And of course, the Lord Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't say, okay, guys, make sure you get all this equipment set up. We've got some special amplifiers over here. Make sure those cords. He preached and he taught in the open. And 5,000 men heard him preach that day. Not counting the women and children. It's the experience that flows from that makes those encounters great. In the case of the Lord Jesus, of course, he was the Word made flesh. In the case of George Whitefield, he was just a humble servant of God, but he was preaching the Word. And so we're here today on the Lord's Day. And any given Sunday, the Lord can move in a marvelous and wonderful and powerful way. And we should not miss that. Bob gave me a little thing this morning about the Lord wanting us to be more regular, not just semi-committed. I thought, that's great. It's a marvelous thing. Well, listen, I thought about how to approach this morning. And then Vondell reminded me of this. And so I hesitate to do it, but I'll just quiet. Come thou, almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father all glorious, or all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. That's what we should be coming with, that spirit. Any given Sunday, wherever two or three are gathered together, Jesus said, there I am in the midst. This is a special thing. But we just treat it like it's nothing. Just mundane. Oh gosh. The preacher probably going to try to sing again this Sunday. You know. Well, listen, God Almighty loves us with an everlasting love. I don't understand why. Do you understand why? I don't understand why. If it would be me, that wouldn't happen, that's for sure. And he treats us as if we're children. When we come to Christ by faith, when we receive the Lord in our lives, and we're born again, and all those privileges and all those options and possibilities that are opened up, one of those is being part of the family of God. One of the major portraits in the scripture, not just simply in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, is the idea that God is our Father. Deuteronomy 32:6 says, do you thus requite the Lord? Why are you always slacking on the Lord? O foolish people and unwise, is not he thy Father? He said, well, I didn't know that was in Deuteronomy. Yeah, yeah. It's all over the place, matter of fact. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 4 says, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Thou art my guide from my youth. That's the relationship. And of course the Lord Jesus, his favorite term for addressing God the Father was Father. I looked it up and I found that the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus says, the Synoptic Matthew, Mark, and Luke, 65 times Father, our Father. John, over 100 times. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Luke chapter 11 records for us, the disciples asked Jesus what? Teach us to pray. That's the only thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. The whole ministry was just that. They must have saw that somehow or another, in this business, in this prayer closet thing, things happen. Teach us about that. And what did Jesus say? He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. I believe that God the Father is well pleased when His family gathers together to worship. I believe that God the Father is always eager to work in our midst, ready to pour out His Spirit upon us, ready to favor us with His presence, ready to send fresh blessings. Lamentations. Yes, Lamentations says something about that. Do you know that? You say, well, is that, what book is that in? That's in the Old Testament someplace. You'll have to look it up. It's in the back. There's a little thing that, you know, or ask Joyce. She can find Lamentations for you. The Lord's mercies never cease. His compassions fail not. What are they? They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that marvelous? Listen, no matter what kind of week you had this week, no matter how tired you are, no matter how depleted your tank is, no matter how distracted your mind is, and how disquieted your heart is, God is ready. Nay, God is able to come and touch your life, and He's pleased to do it. He's looking for the opportunity to draw you unto Himself like a father draws his child and show you loving kindness, new mercies every day. Wow. And God is pleased when His people come together in corporate worship. Any given Sunday. Well, Isaiah says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. You know, most Christians don't believe this. And you know how I know that? By their actions. By their behaviors. The corporate idea of worship to them is really kind of foreign. It's an optional thing. Well, if they were doing something interesting, I'd call them. How many times have you said something like, you didn't say that exactly, but you said this, oh, they're having another meeting. I can't believe it. This is Thursday night. This is the only night I get to watch Thursday night football. What is wrong with these people? Don't they have homes? I think Rhonda asked me the other day, the association annual, semi-annual meeting is going to be here this month. I don't remember, 27th or something. And she was saying, Brother Mike, should we try to prepare some foods and cookies or something like that? I said, yeah, that would be good. You know, make sure, I haven't said anything to Chris about it, but make sure we get something for that. I said, I don't know why we had to do that. You know, let's have the meeting and let's say you're adjourned. Go home. You didn't need a cookie. You don't need any more coffee. You've probably been coffeeed up all day. And some of us don't need any. Well, anyway. But listen, we take for granted what God may do. I have said it myself a million times in my heart. I don't want to go to that particular thing, but I guess I got to go. And I go, and then I come away going, wow, I was so glad that I was there. I didn't anticipate. I should have come with anticipation. But I didn't anticipate it. But God blessed anyway. Because God has a heart to bless His people. Whether our hands are open to willing to receive that, or whether we come like this, it doesn't matter. God's going to get through to us, and He likes to do it in corporate worship. And one of God's major means of blessing His children is when we come together in His name to worship Him. When God's people gather, when the Holy Word is preached and read, when we sing praises unto Him, when we confess with our lips the Lord Jesus, when we bring thanksgiving, when we bring offering. David said, I will not come empty-handed before the Lord. The Holy Spirit literally invades the assembly to restore, I think, where restoration is needed. To rejuvenate. To revive. Where dull hearts need to be cleaned up like a ship or a boat, you know. Down in Florida, one of the things that people make a living at is drawing these boats out of the water, put them in the dry drop, and start scraping off the barnacles. Because they just collect these little living things. They get in there and they start sticking on the boat. Pretty soon the boat gets slower and slower and slower. And it needs to be cleaned. We need to be clean. Oh, listen, look, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. It's free. You guys don't have any money. Come anyway. And buy and eat and come and drink the wine and the milk. You don't have to have a price. You don't have to have money. It's my house. I'm going to do it for you. Then he asked, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Isn't that amazing? Why do we spend so much money on all this kind of stuff? It doesn't satisfy. You can't eat it. I remember, you know, being a military kid, one of the big words of advice they always told us is don't break anything you can't eat. Because you're going to pay for it. But if you can't eat it, you know. Well, listen, why do we labor for things that don't satisfy us? We do it all the time. Hearken, listen, diligent to me, Isaiah says. Eat what is good and let your soul delight in its fatness, the Lord's blessings. It's an invitation, isn't it? Ho means to come. To the foolish, to the ungrateful, come. God stoops down from his magnificence and his glory to invite you and me to come and come to the waters and be refreshed. He's the water of life. Be refreshed. Come. Come. My wife loves to go to the beach. It is pretty. But you know what I like the best about the beach? Is that you can walk down the beach. It's usually fairly warm. But any old time that you get hot, guess what you can do? Splash. Jump in the water. It's always right there. It's always available. God stoops down to make that available to us. Jesus said over in John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood, it said, and he cried out. And he said this, what? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Because you're talking about life, isn't he? Those who thirst, come. You don't need to buy it. You can't buy it. It is free. It is from the Father's good grace to you. All you need to do is come in faith and trust to the Lord and receive what he has for you. And he always has something for you. Isaiah says, come. If you're thirsty. You know, that is a problem. Some people aren't thirsty. How about a cool, refreshing, ice cold glass of water? No, don't need it. They're not thirsty. Listen, we are not only made by God, but we're made for God. In this experience that we get together and we call worship, corporate worship, we taste together the goodness of God. We share that. It's not an individual thing that cannot be shared. It can be shared. Together we taste or we sample the feast that God the Father has for us now. And he's got something in store for us in the future, when there's a new heaven and a new earth. Thirsty people drink. Those who are not, don't. My grandmother had an old farm, and we had a cistern that was outside the house. And I don't know if you know what a cistern is exactly, because we have these little things you turn on in the kitchen, the water comes out and everything like that. She had none of that. There was a cistern right outside, and what that was like a big concrete catch basin. And the water that ran off the house ran into the cistern. The cistern itself was not flat. It went this way because there was like a little trap there that the water would run down. So it was trapping all the rainwater. But we couldn't drink that water. Now, there was something that every other month or something, somebody would come out and do something to that water. I don't know what they did exactly. Probably did something to it. Because the water that runs off the roof of the house, aren't there these little creatures that sit up there going, cheep, 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 cheeping? Yeah, uh-huh. It has all that stuff in it. I'm sure if you had a microscope and you looked at it, there'd be all kind of creepy, crawly little things in there. So don't drink that water. It's okay to wash your hands with. It's okay to wash clothes with. We had this big iron kettle out in the backyard. She'd fire up that thing and build a fire, put the water from the cistern in there, and they'd wash clothes. And, of course, my grandmother got this marvelous new invention. It was a washing machine. Now, it didn't run on electricity. It ran on a gasoline motor. And you literally, like a chainsaw or something like that, you went vroom, and started that thing up. And it was just like any little two-cycle motor, it didn't want to work about half the time. But when you get it running, it was going to do that thing. And then it had this little thing on the side that once you took the clothes out of the water, you could put it in this little thing. And it was like a little two little wheels that went round and round. And you put your clothes in there, and it would squish the water out. And then you could go hang them on the line. And so they were a whole lot drier than any way you could do it that way. And of course, there was always that admonition, don't put your fingers in there. Because that little roller would make it flat too. So we had that was our normal everyday water usage. But at the bottom of the farm, down at the bottom of the hill, right alongside the road, there was a thing called a spring. And my task was to take the bucket, the drinking water bucket, down to the spring. There was like a little cover that covered up that spring. And take the bucket and dip it in there and bring that water up to the house. Generally what I did was when I dipped that bucket in there, I drank some. Because it was cold. And I don't know if you can really use the word sweet or not, but it was good stuff. And the closer you got to the spring, the better it was. By the time you pulled it up to the house and put it on the table and let it set all day, it lost a little something. And that's what we drink. Matter of fact, all the road guys and all those people, they knew about that spring. They would come down there in the morning and they'd fill up all their buckets, all their drinking water containers, because it was good water. It's good water. Listen, God has this marvelous, wonderful thing called His grace, and He wants us to drink of it. All you want. It's free, and it's good for you. It's always going to be a blessing to you, no matter if it's early in the morning or late in the evening. It's always going to be a blessing. It's always going to be good. Don't drink the cistern stuff. The world stuff is cistern stuff. It's the runoff. It's the leftovers. It's polluted. It's dangerous, actually. Where do we drink our water from? Here in Fort Wayne. Does anybody know? What is it, Elsie? Which river? St. Mary's? That one that's green and brown and ugly? That one that stuff is floating dead down through there? Take that picture out of your mind. You won't go to your tap anymore. They do have something they call a filtration system that's on that. You know what my Uncle Richard used to do when he came? He lived up in Cahokia, Illinois. And when he would come down to the farm, he would bring a 5-gallon cooler thing for water. And when he would get ready to go home, he'd stop by the spring and he'd fill it up. And I didn't But one day I remembered, hey, Uncle Richard, what are you doing stopping by the spring and taking that stuff home? He said, oh. See, they had running water in their house. They could go over the tap and go, there's water everywhere. They actually had a shower. They were, you know, kind of cool to go up there. But you know what he told me? He says, this water is so sweet and so pure. It's wonderful stuff. Because they were drinking water out of the Mississippi River. Yeah, they were filtrating it. They were cleaning it. But listen, God's grace is pure. Never going to harm you. It's always good for you. Notice also that he says, this is free. Come ye and buy and eat. Come ye, buy wine and milk without money. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to have anything in your hand at all. God's wonderful bounty is grace. His drink is for the thirsty, and he never charges you. He already paid the price. Your money is no good. It's not needed. Jesus picked up that tab. You see, the fuel, I think, of real worship is not energy that we bring. It's something that we have not much of and we need. It's what God brings to us. Isaiah says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have they seen, O God, beside thee, what thou hast prepared for him that waiteth on thee. It's there. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says it this way. This is the one you probably have on your heart. Eye hath not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Wow. Isn't that marvelous? Come on! It's free. Don't worry about the price. I got it. Come as you are. While your heart is attuned to worship, come. You can be helped. Your preparation is all right, but God's got something for you. It's better. Our preparation is never ultimately the factor involved in what we walked out this door and say, bless God, it was good to be here today. It's not that. The Spirit of the living God is just pleased to show us, despite and in spite, or the neglect of preparation, despite the dryness of our hearts and soul, God is pleased to do what only He can do to everyone who asks. No matter how far away we feel, we can dip our finger to that grace. And there's nothing more than we need than that refreshing touch. Martin Luther said years and years ago, he said this, at home, in my house, there is no warmth or vigor in me. But in God's house, amidst God's people, gathered together, there is a fire that rekindles my heart and breaks through to me. And all the lethargy and all the sluggishness fades out of my life because I've come to the waters of grace with the people of God. And it's been overflowing unto me. That's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Jesus said what? Come! If you're thirsty, come to me! Living waters will flow and refresh your soul. I think myself that God actually knows what He's doing. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Of course He does. But having us come together where He can bless us as His people and His family in a richness that overflows. What a privilege. Father, we thank you for who you are and what you're about. We thank you, God, that as we got up this morning, as we came here to this place, Lord, maybe we were thinking to ourselves, oh my goodness, they've changed the clock again. Oh my goodness, it's so windy. Oh my goodness, it's this. Oh my goodness, it's that. Oh my goodness, where's my shirt at? Where's my pants? All those kind of things. The kid just barfed all over me. Oh my goodness, my goodness. But then we're here. Help us to leave this place saying, oh Lord God Almighty, thank you for your grace and this taste of the spring of water that's so delicious to my soul. Brighten me up, strengthen me, Lord, for the day that's ahead. And we'll praise you and we'll thank you eternally in Jesus' precious name.